older adult, the Medicine Smart. For the free brochure, As You Age, Guide to Aging, Medicines and Alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, and we continue to see that threat of scattered showers and thunderstorms, not only for tonight, but as we head through Thursday and Friday. So keep the wet weather gear handy. You're going to likely need it for the next couple of days. Some of that rainfall could be heavy. Mid-60s for tonight, scattered showers and storms, upper 80s, around 88 tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms as a cold front moves in Friday, mid-80s, but behind the front, sunshine, lower humidity, around 80 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Michael Palmer from the Weather Channel.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR Beckley.
Tonight's Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Well, I guess it's still the night. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Wednesday, therefore it is, of course, the prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
She knows not what she says, especially since this is the last prayer meeting edition of Head On with Little Old Me. I certainly hope I can do justice to the time that you devote to... The phone numbers, of course, are 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. Everything remains the same, at least until tomorrow night, God willing. Now, I don't know if you caught it in the ABC Top of the Hour news, or maybe whatever news you pay attention to, wherever you pay attention to news. But you'll remember we left off last night with the knowledge that a bunch of good-for-nothing, soulless, dead-from-the-neck-up Republicans had stomped a bill in the House, 217 to 189, that would have provided the Veterans Administration the funding that it needed, because of the fact that the VA is now swamped, injured, maimed, and shattered individuals from Georgia's filthy little jock. Well, it turns out that those same filthy, good-for-nothing, godless, soulless, dead-from-the-neck-up Republicans got caught. So today they had no choice but to bite the bullet and crank out another $1 billion for the VA. I don't know why they couldn't have done it yesterday. Why not do there's an old philosophical debate about whether or not you're doing good if you're only doing good when other people can see you doing it. But they did, in fact, get caught. And these Republicans, they'll only do the right thing if you force them to. But what does it say that, just like everything else about the Iraq War was phony and ginned up and fake, so too were their estimates of need. They figured they might have the VA, the Bush administration, and when we say the Bush administration, we mean they told the VA, well, you might have to provide Band-Aids for like 25,000 people. 25,000 returning Iraqi vets might need services. Already the number is over 100,000. Didn't need to be shattered, but now are. And by the way, just in case you were wondering, if you listened to the Pinhead in Chief's speech last night or what, you might have noticed, and I wondered about it, I really did. You know, it was all done down at Fort Bragg, and there was kind of a military coup, if you think about it, because, usually when he goes to one of these staged events at a military base, The soldiers are under direct orders to clap like mad for dear leader. Did you notice the stony silence during the speech last night? By the way, only 19 million Americans watched it. CBS, NBC, and Fox carried it and did so to their programming's detriment. The ratings just went in the toilet the minute that Dear Leader showed his 19 million people tuned in. It was a ratings disaster. Hey, just like his little war in Iraq, another disaster. But as it turns out, if you were paying close attention to the speech, you notice there was only applause at one point, when usually he's drowned out by orders of applause. He got to one little line, and then finally you heard some sort of half, yay, oh, clap, little golf clap, yay. Well, it is now being reported, as it turns out, even then it wasn't the soldiers clapping. That was the White House advance team trying to gin up some applause, just like the war was ginned up. It's just something in a long string of garbage along those lines. Do you remember when he went to Iraq and served the plastic turkey? He did that. The photos are still out there of George holding his Thanksgiving Day turkey with that big, stupid, dead from the neck up grin on his face. It really was. It was a plastic turkey. It was a Halliburton plastic turkey. Just like when he landed on the USS Abraham Lincoln and they had to turn the whole blessed ship to keep San Diego from coming into the camera views because it was so close to shore. They wanted to create this false notion that, Johnny Jump Jet George had gotten into his airplane and flown all the way out to the aircraft carrier when it was practically in San Diego Harbor. Just like the banner that he stood in front of there on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln that said mission accomplished. And when he got called on it, the White House said, oh, we didn't have anything to do with that. That was those grateful sailors on the USS Abraham Lincoln. And then it turns out that no, the White House advance team had that banner made. This White House is an organization that is founded, of course. But it turns out the White House advance team tried to gin up the. And by the way, you did notice last night, didn't you, that there was not one single mention of weapons of mass? That's because that's the old lie. They're working on the new one now. George declaring that this is now World War III. God, it's just pitiful. I mean, you could have some sympathy for this man if he wasn't such a rotten little monster. So beyond that, you know, I opened the show yesterday by telling you that there was a death notice for John Walton. And I read it out while we were sitting in the living room yesterday, and my lovely wife looks up and her immediate response, "Boy's dead? Oh, no!" And that kind of made the eyeballs roll around in my head like little marbles. Took me a minute to take it all in. I went, no, honey, John Boy's fine. John Walton's dead. Sam Walton's son, the multi-billionaire. And with this perfect pitch, Emily Latella-esque comedic timing, my wife looks at me and goes, oh, never mind. Never mind indeed. But we did, we got another death notice today. Shelby Foote's gone. You remember Shelby Foote, the man who wrote what's considered to be the definitive narrative history of the Civil War. The guy with the beard who talked about Shiloh and Chancellorsville and Appomattox Courthouse on the Ken Burns Civil War series like he'd been there. Yeah, him. Yeah, he's dead. Shelby Foote was 88, and it looks like he used every last bit of his life, drank life to the lees, as Tennyson put it. Foote was known and cherished for his charm and his wit and his intellect and his contribution to the overall font of knowledge. Now, compare him to John Walton, a man known for all the money he had accumulated because he was lucky enough to be born the son of a man who hated workers, a man not known for his contribution to the greater good, but known rather for his company's willingness to destroy any American community anywhere, even build on top of the dead themselves, in the name of hustling a little more cheap Chinese crap to the unsuspecting American public. You know, you see those bumper stickers that say, "He who dies with the most toys wins." I don't think so. I think that he who dies having given the most good wins. So who won? Shelby Foote or John Walton?
Nothing lasts forever but the advanced sky. It slips away. And all your money won't another minute by. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
All we are is dust in the wind.
Dust in the wind.
Everything is dust in the wind.
Everything is dust in the wind.
Head on.
It's easy for us to say why Eastern Concrete should be your number one call when you need concrete, but we thought you might appreciate hearing what our customers have to say about us. Customers like James Sampson of C&R Transport.
Eastern, they are very dependable, courteous drivers, and all their drivers are well experienced and know exactly what they're doing. They're competitively priced and very reliable.
And Jim Pierce of Concrete Specialty Enterprises.
Well, I primarily use concrete for decorative concrete, for its impression, you make it look like stone, brick, slate, tile. We dye our concrete integrally, so it requires a 4,000 PSI high-strength mixed concrete. So Eastern Concrete's always been real good for us to get me concrete when I need it, get me the mixed design I want. Whenever I call, they're there for me.
At Eastern Concrete, we've built our business on service. We do what we say, when we say we'll do it. We never bump your order if a larger order comes in. We happily deliver where others don't, and on Saturdays, too. So when you call, Eastern pours. 252-2424.
If you're an older adult, be medicine smart. Free brochure, As You Age, Guide to Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol. Call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, and we continue to see that threat of scattered showers and thunderstorms, not only for tonight, but as we head through Thursday and Friday. So keep the wet weather gear handy. You're going to likely need it for the next couple of days. Some of that rainfall could be heavy. Mid-60s for tonight, scattered showers and storms, upper 80s, around 88 tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms as a cold front moves in Friday, mid-80s, but behind the front, sunshine, lower humidity, around 80 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Michael Palmer from the Weather Channel.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Okay, we're back. Almost 20 minutes after 7 o'clock, let's go straight to the phones. 252-6200 is the local number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-627. And Jose is with us. Hey, Jose, you're head on. Jose?
Bob.
There you are.
Hot day.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
I enjoyed you let me listen to the... You said it mentioned 2001. Hey, with your learning. They cry for peace.
They will cry for peace and they shall have none.
Yeah, and also sudden destruction.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, but I thought they said World War III in the speech.
Yeah, he tried to turn it into World War III, Jose.
Well, that's what it's going to happen.
Trying to destroy the earth, isn't he, Jose?
Well, we don't know how it looks bad.
Yeah, it does. It looks bad for us.
Everybody. Every man, woman, and child.
Yeah.
And what you're saying there is fake and made up.
That was all ginned up.
Ginned up. That means gin means what?
Well, you know, like a cotton gin.
Yeah.
You know, run through a machine.
Yeah.
Made out something not real.
Uh-huh.
Something made to appear as if it were something else.
Well, gin also is don't it mean drunkards?
Well, gin is a form of, yeah, it's an alcoholic beverage, certainly.
Well, I believe they're drunkards then.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. But, you know, under ordinary circumstances, Jose, it would be funny. It'd be, oh, look, I mean,
this is
deadly serious.
Like your guy in the library, he says critical.
Yeah. I mean, I'm proud of the fact that a few people stood up for freedom as far as the library business is concerned, Jose. They told the FBI, you know, quit snooping on what people are reading in the library. Just because Bob goes and checks out To Kill a Mockingbird doesn't mean he wants to go kill mockingbirds.
Yeah. And also, the 66 books is a library, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to carry us through.
Well, you know, the sad thing is Bush has already said that he will veto that bill if it passes, telling the FBI not to snoop on people's library reading. He's an enemy of freedom. I mean, he is, I am convinced of it, as sure as God made little green apples, Jose, I am convinced that he is the monster, he is the beast that is referred to in Revelations chapter 13.
Well, he's part of it. Political system, see, turn on religion. And everybody's against it right now.
I got to tell you, I would prefer that you were wrong.
Yeah.
And I think you probably would, too.
But all these things that we're seeing is a prelude leading up to it. Now, I don't know. Like you said, you could smell it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can smell something, it's bodies from over there, military men, over 100,000. They ain't got the World War One paid off. How can they handle World War Three?
Isn't that the truth?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Keep coping and Jehovah bless.
And you as well, Jose, always.
All right.
All right. Bye now.
Good night.
And Bob. Hey, Bob, you're head on. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good. Hey, you know, what you were talking about last night, that Friday's not going to be the best day for you.
Yeah.
Well, I got a few of my friends together, watering hole on Main Street, if you know which one I mean.
Guessing? But, yeah.
Yeah. So we would like you to be there.
Okay. What time?
About 5 o'clock, 5:30, around there.
I will do my dead level best.
Yes.
Drop me an email and make sure I'm guessing right, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wesley will be there.
Okay.
And, yeah, just us leading art liberals, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crying in our beer.
Crying in our beer. Hey, you know, I heard something on the news yesterday.
Yeah, Unocal. $18.5 billion they're offering.
This is ominous.
Because
the Chinese, with their growing economy, they are, where's that going to come from?
Well, you know, if they have to, they're more than willing to take ours.
Yeah. And I heard something, and you've probably heard of this, about the peak oil production.
Yes.
That right now we're at peak oil production.
Well, some say that we've already passed it.
Right, yeah, yeah. So what's all this translate into? Talk about World War III. Is that going to be with our...
There's that likelihood. And the sad thing is, you know, I'm not being unpatriotic or anything, but we cannot whip our, you know, our 280 million souls cannot whip 1.8 billion.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's...
It should.
You know, every American... Look, you know, what... We've lost the capacity even to manufacture to support our own self-defense. We've sent it all to China and Bangladesh and Honduras and yada, yada, yada. There is an article out there, in fact, Bob. You might find it interesting reading. It really sort of peeled my eyelids back and propped them open with toothpicks. It's called The Saudi Oil Bombshell. I read it at Asia Times, ATIMES.com, but they got it from TomDispatch.com. It's an article by Michael T. Clare. And it speaks to some of these very issues. And I would strongly suggest going and reading it. The Saudi Oil Bombshell, Michael T. Clare at atimes.com.
Okay.
And what he's trying to, he's talking about a new book that's out there called Twilight in the Desert by Matthew Simmons. And basically Simmons's book is puts out four basic points. Most of Saudi Arabia's oil output is generated by a few giant fields. Giant fields were developed 40 to 50 years ago. They've given up much of their easily extracted. Basically, the Saudis have a lot less oil than what they're letting on. And that spells disaster. And it explains a lot of what's going on because of the fact that the Saudis know they're running out of oil. And yet we think we can get oil out of Iraq, so, you know, we're just kind of connecting the dots here, Bob. But what does it tell you when 45% of the suicide bombers in Iraq are, you know, they're not from Syria, they're not from Jordan, they're not from Iran, they're not from Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, I can't even pronounce it. They're from Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
The Saudis, in the long run, have an interest in a militant Wahhabist government taking control of Iraq in our absence, because the militant Wahhabists control Saudi Arabia, too. Because Saudi Arabia knows it's going to lose its prestige, it's going to lose its money. Who is George Bush's daddy in business with? Does does a little bit of the fog and the smoke blow away and make the map look a little bit clearer now?
Yeah. I heard a piece on NPR today about biodiesel.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do.
It's French fry oil.
It's French fry oil. This guy went to China out in Olympia.
Right.
And he puts in his diesel gas tank.
Yeah, you pick up one of these Volkswagen diesels right off the lot. It's ready to burn this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, oil, yeah. Well, I mean, here's one of those ugly little facts. Hemp.
Yeah, okay.
There's some oil to be had there.
Yeah.
But we don't want to talk about that because it's evil. Don't hardly even have to cultivate it.
And people can survive a little bit better.
Well, you know, we think about canola oil, Bob.
Yeah.
Canola is not a plant. There's no such thing as a canola.
Yeah.
It's the Canadian National Oil Something Something Association.
Okay.
It's actually what we know as rape seed oil, R-A-P-E seed oil.
Uh-huh.
Well, most oils come from some sort of grain or some sort of seed that, when pressed, hemp. You can crush the seeds and get the oil.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't want to do that now, would we?
Oh, no.
We'd rather prop up a bunch of Saudi religious bigots.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God help us.
And
figured out yet that they're not putting U-Hauls behind hearses yet.
Yeah.
One of these days, the light's going to go on for everybody, Bob. The question is when.
When?
Yeah. Hey, good to hear from you, man. We've got to take our
all
break.
Right,
I'll email me so I can make sure
right.
I know what you're talking about.
All right. Hopefully we'll see you Friday.
Okay, great.
All
later.
Right. Bye.
Bye now. Man, that was nice. Okay, I tell you what, let's take our bottom of the hour break, and when we've got a news update from Carl Mack, followed by...
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. About 45 members of the Rainbow family have agreed to pay a $30 fine or perform 8 hours of community service filed by the U.S. Forest Service. Federal prosecutors and court officials have fired for groups of 75 or more. Richwood police are investigating the stabbing of a man who was traveling with the Rainbow family. California was attending the Rainbow Gathering at the Monongalia National. They told police, rather, that while he was in the Cranberry Backcountry area, also Rainbow family followers who accused him of stealing a car. Kitcher said the men told him to leave the area or they would kill him. Members of the group Coal River Mountain Watch took their concerns over a coal preparation plant located next to Marsh Fork Elmhurst. They want the operation closed. A Beckley native will be front and center in tonight's episode of 30 Days, a show produced by fellow Stacy, was chosen to spend 30 days living with an Islamic family in Dearborn, Michigan. Stacy graduated from Woodrow Wilson in 1988. Still a chance of more showers and thunderstorms this evening, up till around midnight, then partly cloudy, low tonight near 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, continued warm and humid, showers and thunderstorms again by tomorrow afternoon. Only difference, these could be severe with strong, gusty winds on Thursday. Cold front, which sets up some nice weather for the 4th of July weekend. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
The Supreme Court has refused to hear a case of two reporters facing jail time for refusing to reveal confidential sources in testimony. New York Times reporter Judith Miller and Time Magazine reporter Matt Cooper could be facing 18 months of jail time because they are refusing to disclose who told them the identity of a CIA agent. Miller had interviewed people but never wrote a story using the information. Cooper wrote his story after conservative pundit Robert Novak outed the agent in an editorial. It is not clear as to why Novak is not facing similar charges. Linda Foley, president of the Newspaper Guild, says the issue is a case of selective determination. The federal prosecutor on the case is determining which journalists are entitled to First Amendment protections and those that are not.
The fact that reporters cannot keep sources anonymous without the threat of going to jail is tantamount to completely tearing up their First Amendment rights, and it also really has a huge impact on the public's right to know.
Never the Same, The Untold Story of the Ground Zero Workers is a short film by Jonathan Levin documenting the adverse health effects on September 11th workers from exposure to a toxic cloud that day. The worker compensation response has been inadequate to care for workers like Thomas Hickey of Iron Workers Local 40 in New York.
Headaches all day, every day I got headaches. You can't breathe. I never had asthma, I never had allergies really like that.
Jimmy Willis of TWU Local 100 in New York.
As a result of my time spent at Ground Zero, I've been diagnosed with gastrointestinal disorders and lifelong respiratory disease. I am only one of many.
The union representing UPS pilots has called on the company to make a last, best, and final contract offer by Thursday. The International Pilots Association have suggested they may consider the option of a strike. In a press release, the union says if the package delivery company does not meet their demand, they will have their members vote on the highlights of the UPS final offer. UPS spokesperson Norman Black told the Louisville Courier-Journal that the union statement was just more rhetoric intended to mislead pilots.
The Union for National Basketball Association Players has reached an agreement with the NBA. It's a six-year contract that replaces a seven-year agreement that expires June 30th. The players overwhelmingly approved the new contract on Tuesday. Here's today's Del Bob report. According to a report by the W.W. Norton Company called White Collar Sweatshop, the deterioration of work and its rewards in corporate America, most working people spend more time working and less with their children. In 1969, middle-income families worked an average of 78.2 weeks a year. In 2000, they worked an average of more than 97 weeks a year. The exception has been American families with incomes in the top fifth of the population. They now work five fewer weeks a year than in 1969. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
With a smile on him, who looks so tired, it's hardly worth my while to tell you of my travels across the Golden East. I see your preparations, invite me first to feast. Take me, I'm yours, because dreams are made of this. Forever.
Welcome back. 21 minutes and change before 8 o'clock. The book, that Twilight in the Desert, The Coming Saudi Oil Shock and the World Economy. This is not one of those books that's been written by some long-haired, hacky-sack-kicking, cheese-sandwich-eating, Grateful Dead-following, you know. No. This is the guy that wrote this book is an investment banker. You know, good life. His name is Matthew R. Simmons. And what he's trying to do is explain is at or very near its peak sustainable volume, and it is likely to go into decline in the very foreseeable. Those are the people who flew their who flew the planes into our buildings. Family. Those are the people who don't like, you know, in Iraq, they don't like the Sunnis, they don't like the Shia, they don't like the Sufis, they don't like the Kurds, they don't like the Christians, they don't like the Americans, they don't like anybody, okay? I mean, these are just nasty, hateful people. And they have to have Iraq, because in a few years, we hated your guts all along. You're nasty. You're a bunch of weird ideologues. You're, ugh. And we're going to ignore them, and they're not going to be dirty, stinking, filthy, rotten rich anymore and able to buy great big fighter jets to you know, threaten Israel with. See how it works? My side's getting conned. Your side is getting conned. Go to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Michelle's with us. Hey, Michelle, you're head on.
Hey, I've got a question about the Saudis, but remind me about that because I want to ask you another question first.
Okay.
Okay, I just heard on the news about these firemen who were at, Ground?
Right.
Okay, we've got all these Doctors Without Borders, and we've got all kinds of, I know at least one dentist here in the area flies over to where he was. Work, you know, pro bono work for those people over there. What's the matter with the doctors stepping up
Doctors do every day.
For free?
Yeah. There are good doctors all over this country who volunteer their time when their office hours are over. They volunteer their time because, you know, we don't have adequate health care.
Okay, but the firemen can't go to those free clinics?
Well, it's not a point. It's not the point is
What's
not
the
where
the point there.
The firemen have health benefits.
Right.
The point is that they were sent into Ground Zero right after the towers fell, and among other people, Christy Todd Whitman, who was at that time Secretary of the EPA, said, "Work away, fellas. It's all just as safe as can be. There's nothing there that can hurt you."
Oh, please. Now, come on.
No, no.
These fire guys, they know, like, if you join the military, if you join the police department, if you join the fire department, you know there's risk.
Of course there's risk. But, again, the government...
If the EPA tells you that it's okay, what, if the EPA said, no, you can't go in... You tell me those firemen wouldn't have gone in there?
No, we're talking about the cleanup in the days after.
Oh.
Of course the first responders would go in there.
Okay, well then I was under the wrong impression.
You know, they were there for days after digging for bodies in the rubble.
Yes. Well, yes. Well, you've got to.
Yeah, you do. And they were told, you know, this is safe. It wasn't safe. They knew it wasn't safe.
Yeah,
they knew that there were lives at stake.
Right.
But the problem is there are issues with coverage, you know, say workers' compensation, for instance. Your ordinary health insurance ought not have to cover that. That ought to be a comp issue. In other words, it was an injury sustained in the course and scope of your employment.
Yep, that's true.
It ought to be a workers' comp issue, shouldn't it?
Yes, you're probably right.
Now, meanwhile, the Bush administration is trying to twist the thumbscrews on the state of New York because they haven't disbursed all the money that the federal money that was given to New York for compensating people injured or in the course of cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And what New York keeps saying is, listen, we're not going to disperse it all because we don't know what we're facing down the road because
right.
that place was a poison pit.
Okay.
Right, and the Bush administration,
explaining that.
Yeah, the Bush administration is trying to take that money away.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, you say that the Saudis are the car bombers.
45% of them in Iraq.
How do you know?
That's the statistic that the government's putting out. I know the government, but, you know,
what else do we have to go on? How do they know? I mean, is there enough left of those people to make...
There is.
Apparently there is.
Well, see, the government's in a pickle here, Michelle.
But the government is saying that it's Saudis, yet we're not going after the Saudis. See,
hell no!
It's a mystery to me why they would say it was the Saudis, yet go after somebody else.
Well, they only say it's the Saudis when they're put to the pinch, because last night in George's speech, I don't know if you heard it or not.
No, I was one
lucky.
Of them not.
You were among the blessed. He said, you know, other people are coming and blowing themselves up in Iraq. Saudi Arabians and Iranians and Syrians and Jordanians and, you know, goes through this National Geographic list. And, you know, and the reason he had to mention all those other people, the fact is the Saudis are the problem. The Saudis have been the problem. The Saudis will continue to be the problem because, you know, the Sunnis, they have their issues, but... The Shia have their issues, but they're internal issues.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking, and I asked my husband yesterday, I said, what would it take for you to drive a car bomb and blow yourself up?
Fair question.
What would it take? And I've been thinking about that. What was that?
Did you come to an answer?
Well, the answer that I came to right now, you know, I mean, in the short run, was if my way of life, my family threatened, and everything was going to go to hell in a handbasket anyway, I had to go.
Right, and the thing is, go backward in time just a little bit, Michelle. Consider the kamikazes.
Right.
The Japanese resorted to the kamikaze, which is a translation meaning divine wind.
Yes.
Resorted to that when they were when their navy had been militarily their experienced pilots were gone. They were gone at the Marianas Turkey Shoot, and they were gone at Coral Sea.
Last resort.
The best way of maybe comprehending it is to think about the Palestinians in the occupied territories. They will stand there and throw rocks
yes.
at people with machine guns
yes.
and helicopters.
Yes.
They will throw rocks because rocks are all they have.
They're all they have.
So
I'm not siding with these people, but I'm saying, what would it take for me to get to that point?
No, Michelle, in all honesty, if a few more million people in the United States would sit down and ask themselves the same question you have asked, we might not be in this mess. You're getting a handle on it, Michelle. How desperate must you be?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Desperate.
Yeah. Action, among other things.
Well, I'm going to keep listening. Thanks for the input.
Absolutely. Thank you for yours, Michelle.
Okay,
I appreciate it. Seriously. How desperate are you when you're willing to throw rocks at a tank? You know, I remember when Bill Maher got in such trouble with the wing nuts and the hateful un-Americans that tried to pass themselves off as patriots in the days following 9/11, when he said, look, I don't like what they did. I don't agree with what they did. I don't support what they did. But for God's sakes, quit calling these people who flew these planes into the buildings, cowards. That was not cowardly what they did. And then he went on to say that cowardly is what happens when you sit in a submarine 600 miles away and you push a button, and by doing that, 600 people die in a missile attack. He said, compare the two. And oh my God, the right-wing nuts, the bloodthirsty morons, had an absolute hopping up and down kittens with crocheted tails field day with that. Bill Maher hates America. No! It's a philosophical consideration. When you are 60,000 feet in the air flying a bomber, and you push a button and the bomb bay doors open and 30,000 pounds of bombs or whatever fall out of the bottom of your airplane, drop 60,000 feet, and just blow away a few thousand human beings who were, you know, walking around, picking the rice, whatever, you know, like we did in Vietnam. Who's the hero? For God's sakes, who's the hero in that? And we're still paying the price for that. We are allowed to consider these things so that maybe in the future we don't make the same damnable... Go back to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good. It sounds like you've gotten off to a rousing start.
Well, I didn't mean to, but I guess I did.
Well, I think it's probably high time you did. That he may be tortured by it at every stage of his life.
No, really, that it is, because, you know, Buddhism teaches that it's the fascination with the self that brings misery.
Well, obviously, we've got a lot of people voicing themselves with their own petard. And,
sure.
But you say their oil reserves are becoming depleted.
Right.
Well, you envision and encourage them.
I believe it's probably the latter. Once we're gone, then the Saudis will extend their sphere of influence a lot less than it entails for us to control Iraq.
You talk about the Civil War, and then you talk about the Eastern War and the Middle East.
But consider the stakes, Jim.
I mean, for example, I know what you're talking about, but let's look at the position of the relative.
Probably next to nothing.
You think so?
Because Egypt doesn't have quite the military clout that Saudi Arabia does. Right. The only people that are really in a position to check them would be the Israelis.
Well, what do you think they'd have to say about that?
Israelis would be more than happy to sit by because the enemy of Miami is my friend. They don't, for all Israel cares, if the entire Arab world slaughters itself, the more the merrier.
Yeah, but the trouble is, you know what the chances of being drawn into it would be.
Well, no, because once the Arab world slaughtered itself, there's a segment of Israel parking lot attendants. Over the entire Arab world. I mean, the United States is not the only country that has a faction of absolutely bloodthirsty weirdo dominionists.
And what with Syria and Jordan and some of the other countries?
Well, they can think what they think all day long, but they don't have the muscle to stop it.
And what about Iran?
There is the joker in the deck.
And what about that country that borders on Iran? And you know what country I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think they would? I mean, they are Middle East for the sake of oil. I don't think they'd permit it.
I'm inclined to side with you, Jim. But the problem, the thing that I'm trying to point out here, is that these so-called Vulcans that think they're so much smarter than us in the Bush administration are actually dumber than a bag of rags, and haven't even begun to consider.
Well, they're short-sighted people, and the only interest they have are their own, and they could care.
A whole bunch of these are toward the tail end of that brief gaudy hour, But big-time Dick Cheney checked himself into a Denver hospital last week.
Oh, well.
Over a supposed old football injury. I'm guessing his old football injury infarcted, if you know what I mean.
I think I do believe. Yes, I know. I know. I'm Mark, and so he's, is he out now?
Oh, yeah. And it was downright Soviet, the lack of information we had about it.
Downright what?
It was Soviet.
Oh, yeah, I can remember.
You know, it was Dick Cheney was at his Denver dacha. Dick at the Denver dacha. I'm very alliterative tonight, aren't I, Jim?
You are. You're just amazing me. You know, and they would start, you know, they would interrupt. Right, that's how they started to let people.
Well, you know, by the same token, my buddies over at WD40.com, they've got a running counter. You know, X number of days since Dick Cheney's last heart attack. Please send bacon.
Well, you know, honestly, last night the president attempted to.
Oh, it was a miserable failure.
And you know, I believe.
Oh, it's. But they had to say something, and I don't even think they convinced the mouth breathers.
But you know, I'll tell you something right now. With the Iranians on the other side, and you know, Russia's not going to permit a country that shares a common border.
No, especially when they're religious freaks.
That's what I mean. Do you think the Russians would tolerate a common border with
Oh, it's irritating. It's irritating enough.
Zealots.
Yeah, it's irritating enough to them to have a common border with the Iranians. But apparently, it's enough that they'll still do. Jim, we got to hit the top of the hour break.
Okay.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks for the thoughts.
Welcome.
You know, it's a lot of this has to. This is News Talk 620 WWNR AM Beckley, West Virginia.
WWNR Beckley.
Once upon a time in a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
If you're an older adult, be medicine smart. For the free brochure, As You Age, Guide to Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, and we continue to see that threat of scattered showers and thunderstorms, not only for tonight, but as we head through Thursday and Friday. So keep the wet weather gear handy. You're going to likely need it for the next couple of days. Some of that rainfall could be heavy. Mid-60s for tonight, scattered showers and storms, upper 80s, around 88 tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms as a cold front moves in Friday, mid-80s, but behind the front, sunshine, lower humidity, around 80 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Michael Palmer from the Weather Channel.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, I'm Bob. It is the Wednesday night prayer meeting edition. That being the case, it's worthwhile having a look at religious fanaticism around the world. Just like I said, just as here in the United States we have a gang of religion industry weirdos who believe that it's their job to rule the world, other people do too. As you may have heard mentioned in a phone call a couple of nights ago, the Saudis believe that Allah literally put the oil under Saudi Arabia just for them. But now they're finding out that it's running out, so I guess what Allah giveth, Allah taketh away, huh? But in the middle of all this, Tom Engelhart, he says Exxon, which just had the impudence, and this really happened, just had the impudence to hire Philip Cooney after he was accused of doctoring government reports on climate change and resigned as chief of staff to the White House Council on Environmental Quality. You heard about that, right? The energy industry, through its people, doctored up the official government document on global warming. Well, Engelhart notes the cynical way to look at this, commented Kurt Davies, U.S. Research Director for Greenpeace, is that ExxonMobil has removed its sleeper cell from the White House and extracted him back to the mothership, talking about Philip Cooney. But Exxon has issued a report. It's called the Outlook for Energy, a 2030 view, that says, and this is Exxon. They say peak oil is 5 years away. 5 years. Not 25, not 20. 5 years is when it starts to get really nasty. War game, unlike risk. By the end of the game, they found the U.S. all but powerless to protect the American economy in the face of a catastrophic disruption of oil markets. Participants concluded almost unanimously that they must press the president to invest quickly in promising technologies to reduce. But we wouldn't want to be trying to. And I understand most of these things are stopgap measures and are far, far away. Like Bob mentioned, biodiesel, couldn't do that. Solar? Oh, no. Solar is communism. Geothermal? That's Al-Qaeda geothermal. ExxonMobil and the oil conglomerates that actually rule this world are going to wring every last drop of money out before they quit the street. But would you be surprised at that? Isn't that what any junk dealer does in any barrio, in any slum, in any ghetto? Isn't that what he does? Doesn't he try to get every last nickel out of every last junkie? before he gets busted or has to move on? That's the way that dealers behave. Look down the road. Look down at Sundial. Look all over southern West Virginia. Don Blankenswine is hell-bent on wringing every last dollar out of West Virginia again before he has to move on, and he will move on. The coal companies will move on. They're not going to stay here and say, oh, well, you know, we've exploited you for 150 years. Here, let us help shift you over to a more reasonable, sustainable economy. Whatever, if you believe that, whatever you're taking, smoking, injecting, let me know. I'm going to need a little here in the next few days. Pay attention. This is your future. This is your children's future. And along those lines, we got a press release today from our good friends. They invite you to go to mountainjusticesummer.org. Or CSOVEC.org, because CERN parents and other citizens of Coal River Valley, West Virginia, with support from Mountain Justice Summer participants, delivered a list of demands to Massey Energy's headquarters in Richmond, Virginia, insisting that Massey respond. As usual, Massey got on the phone because they're scared to death of 82-year-old grannies. And had some people arrested for trespassing. His health and peace of mind are too important. No child. We're simply asking that Massey treat these children in the Coal River community with respect. For the sake of the kids, Massey needs to do the right thing. Thurman and Elkins both shouted, save the kids at Marsh Fork Elementary while they were being. Our friend Ed Wiley, who has called in from time to time, said, it breaks my heart to send my granddaughter to that school. Coal dust and chemicals on the playground and the air system cannot be good for kids. Living proof of the poison that exists at Marsh Fork Elementary.
Huh? Problem? What problem? You know, it's a crisis. What crisis? It's a Super Tramp album, for God's sakes.
Dust and chemicals on the playground and in the air system cannot be good for kids. These are their formidably breathing coal dust. The coal silo stores powdered coal and loads rail cars 150 feet from school grounds. After loading, the operation sprays a Beckley paper.
My son had breathing problems when he went to Marsh Fork.
You know, how do you carry on a civilized, sane discussion with idiots like that? But God bless these people at Coal River standing up for you, too, because you know what? When Don's done there, take our break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I used to go up on the mountaintop to eat a worried mind. But now that mountaintop is gone, it fell to that big drag line. Go read your good book in Revelation, in the 11th chapter. And the 18th verse, what will they say on the judgment morning when God destroys those who destroy this earth? I've seen the rivers run black as
coal. Head On.
This is Tim Berry, Mount State University head softball coach, inviting everyone out for the KNU's Court four-man softball show on Thursday, July 7th at 7 p.m. at Warren Williams Stadium. Come out and see the KNU's Court, Rich Hoppe, Dave Booth, Jack Knight, Anne-Marie Fainter, and the King himself, Eddie Fainter Sr. for a night of softball fun. The KNU's Court softball show is sponsored by Southern Communications, Inc., Jan Care Ambulance, Michael Green Kennels, Phillips Technologies, Inc., Mountain State University, Spartan Sporting Goods, and Sleep In and Beaver. Purchase your KNU's Court four-man softball show tickets in advance for $7. The night of the event, gate price is $12. Children 5 and under admitted free. Advanced ticket locations for the KNU's Court show are Little General at Nalgene Square, Glendaniel, West Virginia, Stanford Road, 3rd Avenue, and Callaway Heights. You can also purchase at Spartan Sporting Goods, Appalachian Drive, Beckley, and Mount State University Bookstore on Neville Street. Purchase your advance tickets for $7. They'll be $12 at the gate.
Where there's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
Where there's a search.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
Where there.
When disaster strikes.
Where one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
If you're an older adult, be Medicine Smart. For the free brochure, As You Age, a guide to aging, medicines, and alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, and we continue to see that threat of scattered showers and thunderstorms, not only for tonight, but as we head through Thursday and Friday. So keep the wet weather gear handy. You're going to likely need it for the next couple of days. Some of that rainfall could be heavy. Mid-60s for tonight, scattered showers and storms, upper 80s, around 88 tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms as a cold front moves in Friday, mid-80s, but behind the front, sunshine, lower humidity, around 80 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Michael Palmer from the Weather Channel.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Almost level. West Virginia. Latin mountains. Built in our rivers. By the ton, we lose more by law here than if they use a gun. Strip my roads, ruin my home. All the places I belong, West Virginia, stripped off mama, where's my home, my country road.
Yeah, welcome back. And when, for God's sakes. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley is 800-620-9967.
Well, pat, Bob.
Well, thank you.
I'll get in line. So there was an elementary school student. He had a breathing problem. According to the nice woman in the paper, he lost weight and things cleared up.
He's breathing just fine now.
Guessing she left out the part that it took him till age 18 to finish up at elementary school.
Oh, you're but, cold. You're cold.
And by that point in time, he had affirmed his affinity for drugs and alcohol, thus masking the symptoms, and she never saw him again. And when she got the collect calls from the correctional institution, he sounded like he was breathing fine. All right, that's cold.
No, but that was mighty good.
Well, you mentioned the altered global warming report, but a man that started in the energy industry and went to work for the Republicans, and then, no pun intended, went back to the energy industry and worked for Bandar's cousin W, and now he's back in the energy industry after he fudged the report that said the scientific facts done by an army of...
In a nutshell, yes.
Okay.
That's big nutshell.
That's the Republican way, Bob, because let's have another example of that, and there's one after this one. Let's talk about the very highest level of a cabinet-level post involving trade. A Bush appointee, a little over a year ago, assigned someone to do a study on the labor conditions and the way business was done and all that sort of stuff in Central America so that they would have supporting documentation to ram CAFTA into some opening within our body. All right, a year later, they've got that report in their hand, but they've had it in their hand for over a year. They haven't let anybody see it because the hand-picked group to do the study said that to mention the word union could shorten your working life. To mention it a second time could shorten your life. That 14-year-old girls were expected to work 6.5 12-hour days per week and be happy about it. And recruit their 12-year-old sister to come and do the same thing. Ugliness. on top of ugliness.
Oh, you mean like, Bangladesh, in other words.
Precisely. And when the Bushistas had this in their hands about a year ago, it went into the drawer. Well, today, someone managed to pry it from their, blue-blooded, well-manicured fingers. And Scott McClellan says, well, you know, gee whiz, no, there's no real problem. That report was flawed. They turned up bad information. Translation turned up the truth, and they didn't want to hear it. And then McClellan says, but we've hired an independent agent to go out, and they found that everything those people unearthed was wrong. Well, gee whiz, it probably came from the Heritage Institution. But here
I was thinking Walmart.
Well, that could be true. And it was a Heritage thing funded by Walmart.
Yeah.
So now we've got the Republicans doing what they always seem to do. If they don't like what they hear, they have a guy make it up and scream it on the radio until they go hire somebody that gives them the report they want, and then they say, see there? We were right all along. And now let's talk a little bit about timing.
Okay.
So, Bob, timing
is everything.
Timing is everything. Timing is everything. Whether it be comedy, politics, or orgasms, timing is everything, Bob.
Cake baking.
Precisely. Don't open that oven door. Don't be peeking. Public broadcasting.
Yeah.
About 6 weeks ago, that wonderful House said, all right, boys, you're going to have a little bit of a cut in the funding. We're going to take roughly 25% of your budget right out from under you. Big dither. Incredible. Now, I'm serious about this. I've been serious before, but it was in a different voice. I'm deadly serious. There was an incredible outcry from the public about this funding cut.
Right.
The public did not like it.
Yeah, millions upon millions upon millions of Americans said throat.
Exactly. And why did they do it when they did it? They did it then because they wanted to put a Republican functionary in as the president, and immediately after installing that witch, they wanted to then say, we'll recant on taking the money away. So now they have the person in place that, funding or no funding, she can install Fox Network veterans. You know, the revolving door went from the energy industry to the Republican-controlled White House back to the energy. Well, now it's going to be from Fox News to public broadcasting, back to Fox News, back to public broadcasting. They wanted to cover their tracks all over.
Honest to God, if Jimmy Jeff Ganey gets a job at PBS, I'm going to march on Washington.
Bob, let's go shopping for some comfortable shoes. Son, we're going to need them. We're going to be walking.
Oh, my God. Pardon the little interlude, but ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, Gorgeous George. In this corner, Rasslin,
fresh from the beauty parlor, we've got the bad guy. Fresh from the aisles of the church, we've got the good guy. And at the end of the day, they're going to split the kitty. They're both going to cash Republican checks.
Oh,
I'm serious, Bob. It is so ugly. The Republicans, what they can't fix, they call a lie. What they can't call a lie, they invade and they kill the children and the women and the old people that resist their efforts to take over.
Yeah, you're right.
The lies won't do it. The bullets will.
And if you tell too much truth, we will demand an apology. And since you're Democrats, you'll apologize. Now, meanwhile, we're still waiting for Karl Rove's apology, you know, about that. And he says they wanted to give the terrorists therapy.
Then, wrapping himself in the glory and the honor established by virtually 99% union workers.
Yeah.
There's no non-union service providers in New York City to speak, not in the uniform, not sworn officers.
There are no non-union FDNY. There are no non-union cops.
You can't even find a non-union guy in those circles two generations back.
Right, because they understand it is what has made their lifestyle and their ability to have a decent life in a pretty expensive place to live possible.
When unions are busted, you have what you have at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, where air traffic controllers, when they have a near miss, they smile, they chuckle, they look over the shoulder at their supervisor and say, did I have a near miss? And the supervisor says, no, I'm not aware of a near miss. Well, gee whiz, boss, I guess I don't need to report a near miss. Are you aware of that report? Are you aware of that finding? That last full year, Dallas-Fort Worth reported two near misses, when in reality it's more like 50.
Yeah, I was going to say like four dozen.
The underfunded, undersupported, toothless agency that it is, finally, somehow.
But Ronald, but David, Ronald Reagan was a great president.
Well, and see, is it in the stars, honey? Am I getting lucky tonight?
No, but your buddies are.
Hey, honey, I busted a union today. Doesn't that get me some cookies at bedtime?
Oh, my God. It's where do we live?
Oh, Bob, you know what? I'm taking advantage of this. I'm going to push the envelope just a trifle. Mm. You know, I'm working the edges right now, Bob.
Give it a shove.
The ump's giving me the black part plus an inch here, but I'm more than willing to throw at their head tonight, brother. Well, I'll take a break, and I'll walk around the room and, you know, apologize to somebody. Maybe my sainted mother.
Nah, I think she's proud of you.
Yeah, she was a lifelong Democrat. She'd hate him just as much as I do.
Exactly. Take it easy, David. Thanks so much.
Good night, brother.
We got to push the envelope. Woohoo! This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The mayor of Leicester, teachers from the Alternative Education Center in Sofia, are not. Good evening. Continued chance of showers and thunderstorms till around midnight tonight and partly cloudy.
Goodness, the establishment media barons in our country are not in charge of the fire department. They wouldn't ring the alarm if their own firehouse was in flames. A case in point is the Downing Street Blair in July 2002 is an official acknowledgement of what George W. and his neocon ideologues have long denied. They deliberately lied to Congress and the American people about the need to go to war in Iraq. These minutes, written by Britain's top intelligence chief 7 months prior to the war, tell of Bush's determination to invade Iraq and to use weapons of mass destruction as his rationale, whether they existed or not. The minutes flatly state that intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy by the Bushites. You'd think this would be serious news here in the USA, as it has been in England and elsewhere around the world. Credible evidence from Bush's top ally that our president was engaged in a conspiracy to deceive and mislead the American people in order to shove our nation into a deadly war. But our media establishment simply yawned at it and failed to bring the story to us. Thanks to a fast-moving grassroots internet effort and persistent questioning by such uncowed members of Congress as John Conyers, beginning to play catch-up. Of course, the Bushites are trying to dismiss the Downing. Just as they got started, another flame flared up in the form of more secret memos called the British Briefing Papers. These six top-level briefings for Blair confirm and extend the point that there was no threat from WMDs in Iraq and that there was no evidence that Saddam had an al-Qaeda connection. The British media covered all this last fall, but our media ignored it. This is Jim Hightower saying, get the news that Bush and the U.S. media don't seem to want you to have. Go to this website, www.downingstreet.org.
Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Library.
Radio for the real majority. Head On.
Welcome back. I haven't made mention of it yet, but there was mention of it in our top of the craft. I guess Matthias Rust has got... Do you remember after 9/11 when people like Adam's Apple, Annie Coulter, talking about how Churchillian Bush was, and they made fifth. Oh, it really was. But you see, that's the difference. For 5 years, we have been told that we must live in fear, but go shopping. Live in fear, but go shopping. Shop in fear. While you're shopping in fear, make sure you pick up some plastic sheeting and duct tape and a few gallons of distilled water. But be afraid, America. For God's sakes, be very afraid. I forget where I was reading it today, but I saw some woman's comment who said that if hubby told me he was afraid of terrorists, I would kick him to the curb. Last night, we got this load of, oh, how appropriate, bourgeois. About how we must stay the course. You know, he just dusted off one of LBJ's old speeches and gave it again. The only mention he could make of the real baddie in all of this, you know, you remember Osama bin Forgotten, you remember? The only mention he could make of Osama bin Laden was to quote him! How bad off has our president, not our president, my left hind foot, your president maybe, not mine, how bad off have we become when the self-styled leader of this country is reduced to quoting Osama bin Laden talking about the Iraq War? Because that's where that World War III comment came from. That was Osama. He said, just listen to the words of Osama bin Laden. Iraq is World War III. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, George puts great stock in what Osama says. After 9/11, Osama put out one of his little videos, you know, where I am telling the United States right now to get all of your military personnel out of the holy soil of Saudi Arabia. And you know what did? George got all the military. I suppose it's only fair to note that, yeah, George does put great stock in what Osama bin Laden has to say. So now that Osama bin Laden has said that Iraq is World War III, George feels more that, hey, he's free now. George is free to decide that we are in World War III and he's a war president. Never mind. Knowing how bloodthirsty rulers can become, took the power to wage war away from the president, but, details. Talking to my fellow soldiers about this whole situation, and I've told them about how the leadership tell them that they are saying to the Congress, well, you know, our poor soldiers want to stand stuff. Leonard Clark says, when I tell this to my fellow soldiers, they immediately begin to laugh, and then they get ticked off that such boop-boop is being spouted back home because we're the ones. There are, he says, to be sure, some soldiers, fewer and fewer day by day, who are naively still blind. What do you mean we should stay in Vietnam? We're going to win this thing. We're killing 50 to 100 of those Viet Cong, and they're only killing 3 of us. And then the next question to them would be, well, what about all the American soldiers who are going to die for this so-called police? Well, it's for democracy. If it takes more American soldiers to die, well, then so be it. Told some fellow soldiers who still blindly follow the crap being spoon-fed to them about the Vietnam. Iraq is more of a dry heat. Let the Iraqi government we set up run their own country, but instead we just stayed on and on. Well, it doesn't matter to them. His decency and compassion will not get them elected, only money and votes. Republicans, if they didn't. The cause we fight for is noble. And because, you know, we were told so steadily during the election cycle, well, all the military's behind the president. Ardo. Ario. They don't suddenly become Republicans just because they serve their country. They jope. You know, be all that you can be. Great Britain's coming under sustained pressure from American military chiefs to keep thousands. The Americans are pushing for at least a maintenance of the troop numbers that we have there now, our latest intent. 40, that's humiliating, isn't it? But did it, and shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell Rob. W, the president. Sticker off your car. I didn't vote for him.
That's one of the problems we have. Just about come to the conclusion that one of the things that allows evil people to prevail of your neighbor was radical when Yeshua the Palestinian carpenter still radical.
Duck!
Look at big time cancer to die in the sticky, sweaty, blood-sodden. Without our inability to hang on to even the most fundamental elements of decency, check this out. This is a quote. And now the whole nation, pulpit and all, will take up the war cry and shout itself hoarse and mob any honest man who ventures to open his mouth, and presently such mouths will cease to open. Next, the statesmen will invent cheap lies, putting the blame upon the nation that is to be attacked by us. And every man will be glad to diligently study them and refuse to examine any refutations of them, and thus he will by and by convince himself that the war is just, and will thank God for the better sleep he enjoys after this process of grotesque self-deception. Unquote. That is Mark Twain all over again and again. Andy Rice's.
Come on, y'all, let's go make some more children suffer!
Let's just head on.
Head on.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ed Council, and LCCREF.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Free brochure, As You Age, a guide to aging, medicines, and alcohol. Call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, and we continue to see that threat of scattered showers and thunderstorms not only for tonight, but as we head through Thursday and Friday. So keep the wet weather gear handy. You're going to likely need it for the next couple of days. Some of that rainfall could be heavy. Mid-60s for tonight, scattered showers and storms, upper 80s, around 88 tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms as a cold front moves in Friday, mid-80s, but behind the front, sunshine, lower humidity, around 80 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Michael Palmer from the Weather Channel.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock on this, the final hour of the final prayer meeting edition of Head On here on News Talk 620. Quick email from our buddy David. Put his nose up W's skirt. If he doesn't, W will get God on the phone and consign Tony to hell. W can do that. Yes, he can. He talks to God all the time. Yes, he does, David. Yes, he certainly does. I mean, he said that in front of reporters in Israel. God told me to strike at Osama, and I did. And God told me to strike. Man. Dude needs medicine. Well, let's go back to the phones. Ken's with us. 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Hey, Ken. Ken. Oh, Ken.
Ken, did you bail out on me? Are you there? You got the right button there. Go back to hold. We'll try again. Oh, well. Had Ken. Lost Ken. These things happen. Just to follow up a little bit, interesting piece from the columnist, news writer and columnist named Michael Mayo, out to Hollywood, Florida, to VFW Post 2500. Televisions there were all tuned in to that nobody was really paying attention. He said there were about 30 people in the bar. They were drinking, they were talking, they were smoking. Does it have to be so loud? Giblock, he's a visiting Vietnam vet from Anchorage, Alaska. Giblock 63. He said he's running scared. Poll numbers are so low, he's got to say something, but the support is gone. It's gone. I don't think there's anybody in here who's behind him. Hessel. You know, you got to love a guy who's 89 and can still make it out for spaghetti night at the VFW. He fought in World War II at the Battle of Midway. All he said was, Charlie, get along with my dad. Dad missed out on Midway. In fact, you know, you've heard me reference it several times. You know, on December 8th, when Franklin Roosevelt, understanding his constitutional position, government had to go to Congress to ask Congress to declare war on Japan. He did that. He said, you know, will you please declare war on Japan? Dad, who first brought up the thing, said, you know, if that had been George W. Bush on December 8th, 1941, he wouldn't have gone to Congress, and he would have instead gone on the radio and declared war on Bolivia. Because that's the same thing. Going to war on Iraq because of 9/11 is the same thing as going to war on Bolivia because of December 7th. Bob Artman is 79 years old. He's a World War II veteran. He says, I got a bad taste in my mouth. Every time I read about a guy getting killed, I tear up. I didn't feel this way at the beginning, but now I just don't see an end to it. Ted Anderson, 73. He's a Korean War vet. He's a former police chief in Jersey. He said, we still have thousands of troops in the demilitarized zone in Korea 50 years after the fact. It's going to be the same thing 50 years from now in Iraq. Donald. He's 71. He said, when you got people who are willing to strap bombs to themselves and blow themselves up, that's a hard war to win. I think that's kind of where Michelle was going. But I think Bush had the right idea, but now it's turned into a religious war for some people there, and that's the worst kind of war to be in. Is Bush is committed. No, Bush ought to be committed. So he's got to stick to his guns. But at some point, he's got to come up with a plan to get out of there, because we're never going to be able to get rid of 100% of the terrorists. He's going to have to pull out, just like Vietnam. Tigers don't change their stripes, and neither do cowards. And Bob Artman, the 79-year-old World War II vet, he said, I'm a registered Democrat, but even people in his party are now questioning things. They don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. So many people in this country need things. People are starving. People need health care and medicine. So here we are taking care of people all over. Howard Fay. Howard was a former POW in Vietnam. 9 years in the Navy and the Marines. Talking about the fact that George Bush mentioned 9/11, what, four or five times? They just play up on the fear. It used to be the domino theory and stopping communism. He said there was a picture. The Russians are coming. I remember that. Now it's the terrorists are coming. After 9/11, I think we overreacted a little bit. We're not using our heads. Bud Lynch is from Hallandale, Florida. He's a Korean War veteran. I have no respect for this president. He's just trying to finish daddy's job. That's all this was about. There was no nuclear boop or WMDs to begin with. If it were my son being sent over there, I wouldn't let him go. Vietnam was BS. Iraq is bug spray. It's all political. All these people are dying in vain. I was in for 9 years, so don't go waving a flag in my face and say I'm not being patriotic. We need to do a little bit better, you know, the decent side of things. We need to do a little bit better job starching up our politicians. We need to teach people like Joe Lieberman that when someone like Dick Durbin speaks the truth, you don't scream at Dick Durbin. You acknowledge his speaking of the truth. Killing the messenger.
Why settle? Why settle for just 60 channels when Charter gives you more than 90 digital channels plus all your local channels on two TVs for just $29.99 a month? Charter Digital offers up something for everyone in the family. Over a dozen commercial-free movie channels. You'll also receive 45 digital music channels. And Charter Digital gives you access to Charter On Demand, HDTV, and digital video recording. So don't wait. Call 1-888-GET-CHARTER. Programming and services may not be available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Prices guaranteed for 12 months. High-speed internet price guaranteed for 3 months.
Trinity Christian Academy is expanding to include 9th and 10th grade. With a new facility at 224 Pinewood Drive in Beckley, we have plenty of room for your child. We have highly qualified teachers teaching regular academic courses, and we work with parents to provide a solid academic foundation with Christian training. To find out more about our expanded pre-K through 10th grade programs, call Trinity Christian Academy 254-9600. Trinity Christian Academy, training the whole child.
Families in Florida prepare themselves for the hurricane season. Families in California prepare themselves for earthquakes. Every family in America should prepare itself for a terrorist attack.
This is a message from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, recorded by Secretary Tom Ridge. The topic, what you can do.
Not all Americans go to work every day in a department or a job that helps secure the country. We're not going to ask them to do that. We're going to ask them to do some simple things, like creating an emergency kit, a good communications plan. People might think it's insignificant, but if you take the time to develop that communication plan, to make that emergency supply kit, you have helped prepare America in the unlikely but still possible event that something could happen.
Learn to be prepared at www.ready.gov or call for a free brochure, 1-800-BE-READY. That's 1-800-237-3239. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Yeah, there's a great thought. Religious war is tough. Yeah, it is. Just try asking Fred Phelps. You remember him, pastor of the Westboro Baptist Church, ordained Southern Baptist minister, who is running around tormenting veterans' families as they bury their beloved war dead, telling them that God personally killed their family member because he hates faggots. In it with you. But, you know, what do you want? That's the religion industry in the United States. Jim's back with us with another thought. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Hey, Jim.
I was just watching a film, classic movie, called, I think, The Earth versus Flying Saucers.
Yeah.
And it shows a flying saucer flying over Washington.
Okay.
So can you imagine what would happen if one were to land on the mall like they did in the day the Earth stood still?
Oh, no, they'd just be coming to call George home to the mothership, that's all, Jim. That was a joke.
Let's hope that Mike Moreni,
yeah, see, it's catching up with you now, isn't it?
Let's hope that, how does it go, Mike Moreni was ill, was a the earth was still, but he taught us how to stay in.
Yeah, let me see if I've got that.
But, you know, it's a funny thing. In World War II, I see German submarines sailed up to pictures of the D.C. skylines, the way they did the Hudson River in New York.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if there's any wide-scale panic about that. And during the first days of World War II, at Pearl Harbor, they had one siren on top of the old Woody's building in D.C. Woodward and Loper, they were out of business. And half the anti-aircraft guns they had were just made out of wood.
Yeah, they were dummies.
They were dummies. I mean, you know, and all of a sudden now the plane flies over. I mean, and in a later time, we had Washington. It was one of the first targets that there were ever an exchange of nuclear missiles. I mean, I used to have lunch at a little hot dog stand in the courtyard of the Pentagon called the Ground Zero Hot Dog Stand. That's what it was called. And then when I moved out to Andrews, I was so, well, the expected first hit would be Andrews and not the Pentagon because they tried to knock out the president when he tried to leave. And I said, well, you know, so what? And now a plane flies over, they evacuate the Capitol, and all the congressmen and their staffs, or probably their staffs, the congressmen, I'm sure they probably whisked them away to some Fuhrer bunker or something somewhere, who knows.
Yeah.
But all the people who work at the Capitol, guess where they have to go?
Down into the metro, maybe?
No, they're outside on the Capitol ground.
Yeah, because they throw them out of the building.
Yeah, they throw them out of the building.
Well, Jim, I think this just points up. We are, you know, we're a terror nation. We are a terrified nation. And, you know, since we reflect the nature of our leadership, our leader is a coward, and therefore he has made cowards of us all.
Well, you see, this works to his advantage, my friend. You see?
Well, I guess it does on some visceral...
element is one of the linchpins of their entire policy.
Well, sure.
It enables them to have a hold on this government and this country.
Well, yeah, and we saw it in action before.
You know, to the absolute fact.
Yeah, we saw it in action before the election, Jim, when Big Tom Dick Cheney came out and said, if you don't reelect George Bush, he said that.
Well, what are they going to come over in, kites?
Flying saucers. Flying saucers. Flying saucers. Al-Qaeda flying saucers. That's it.
I'll tell you, I really wish that a flying saucer with a gentleman like Michael Rennie and his big friend Gort would land right there on the mall and say, look here, I want to have a meeting with all you people. And we're going to get some things straight. Because we have no intentions of allowing you to spread your lunacy into outer space. As long as you kept it here on your surface, your planet, we were content to let you go ahead and do so. But now that we see that you're becoming capable of doing this, that, and the other, and are actively seeking the militarization of space, you're not going to let you do it. And you'll either succeed to our request, or we'll incinerate you.
Well, and
I catch a few heads, but maybe some people might get together and start to think.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, I think we're going to have to do it without the spaceship, though, Jim. I mean, was it a month ago we had the story about the Pentagon and the Bush administration are now determined to put death rays in space?
Bob, that stuff was started back in Reagan in 82. I remember seeing him on TV and asking him what they'd given him before he made that speech. But his eyes were rolling back in his head, and I thought the man was going to have a stroke. He was talking about laser weapons and particle beams and all types of, you know, super guns that they could mount and mirrors and reflect. And they spent billions on that thing.
Yeah, but now they've taken a different tangent on it. You saw this, didn't you? The business with God's rods.
Oh yeah, I told you about that.
Yeah,
I brought that up with Dr. Bill, I think, and you. Earlier this year.
Yeah, throwing titanium rods from space.
Well, what's it going to do?
Well, by the time it makes it through the atmosphere and reaches impact, it has the physical force of a multi-megaton nuclear device without the radiation.
You tell like a neutron? No. I mean,
no. It's
oh, I see.
I mean, it's just pure kinetic energy.
Well, Bob, if they develop something like that, then why are we having any type of energy crisis? Why can't we use these guys' rods here on Earth to develop some type of energy that's very cheap and very affordable and obviously maybe it might be pretty safe? I don't know. I don't understand the whole concept behind it, but they still say that the Star Wars thing is simply not going to work.
Well, only if we can get the Chinese and the North Koreans to put homing beacons on their missiles.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's...
Because that's how we're testing it. We have to put a homing beacon on the missile to actually make our killer missile hit the target.
And how many targets have they acquired yet?
A couple of them. As long as they had the homing beacons on them. Sometimes we miss the missiles that have the homing beacons on them. It really is. It's hit or miss.
Well, we don't have any type of real reliable guidance systems for these types of weapons. But the point of my conversation tonight, the second time I've called, is because the element of fear that they have in which they can evacuate all the capital and have all the staff running pell-mell, helter-skelter, trying to get to the nearest metro stop for some type of protection instead of being out in the open, sitting there on a park bench on the Capitol and watching it all, is basically, it's a fear-driven thing that is designed, and they're using it to keep themselves in power.
Yeah.
And they're using it as a means by which they can intimidate the American people.
And, it is the same method used by any totalitarian regime the world over.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
the Polish are out to get us.
Or who else is out to get us? I mean, we have these guys who got on an airplane, the Saudis who got on several airplanes, and they did cause a lot of damage in New York and in D.C., for sure. And, now that but this whole thing of 9/11 was the only thing that I could see that characterized the Bush presence.
Well, you're absolutely right, and the thing is,
because up until then he was going nowhere fast.
Well, look, his numbers tanked on the speech last night, right?
I don't know what were they?
19, counting all four networks that carried it, 19 million people watched it.
And what were the percentages of people who agreed or disagreed? Do you know?
I'm not entirely certain. It was bad enough that the only poll numbers I saw today were from CNN and Gallup, and they had to fudge it up with a fattened up sample of more Republicans than Democrats. That was their it was a statistical sample of something like 362 Americans with more Republicans than Democrats than are actually demographically represented in the United States.
What were their figures? How far they tank it up,
46% was the approval rating on that speech with those fudged up numbers.
Well, that means 54% of the people didn't like it, right?
Thereabouts, yeah. But of course, that's
52% of the people, according to a national poll, disagreed with the basic stuff he was trying to put over last night.
But of course, CNN described it as 46% agreed a whole bunch, 24% agreed a little bit, and I'm not rock solid on the numbers here.
Okay.
But it was like 46% agreed a whole bunch, and 12% agreed not at all, and 24% agreed a little bit.
Well, not much and a little bit. It's not very solid.
No, it's not very scientific either, but, that's not what these people are about.
Well, they have these spreads where people can basically punch in and, you can check off which element, which one you want. That's how they get that, I guess.
The shows that followed the speech, Average Joe on NBC turned in a 2.0 rating. Empire on ABC turned in a 2.0. It was just walking death for the networks last night.
I mean, what do you mean by 2.0? How many?
That was the Nielsen number.
Of the people who actually watched the speech.
Yeah, the people that watched the follow-up. Let's see, Joe, 2.0 in adults 18-49. Among the big four, there were 19 million viewers.
That's all.
That's it.
19 million viewers out of how many people who have TV sets?
God only knows. But that compares with 32.75 million who watched a peacetime press conference. But, we had to run it here, the one in April.
Right.
So he can't even get people to watch him on TV anymore. It's getting that embarrassing.
Well, you know, he would not have come down there. Well, he wouldn't have sat in his office and made that speech. Well, he had to come.
Right, and even under those circumstances, it must be remembered that it's now been shown that the one burst of applause that he got was manufactured and started by the White House advance team. The military, who were the invited guests, never clapped once on their own.
I did. Yeah, okay, I know what those invitations are like.
Yeah, they never clapped once on their own. They had to be started by the White House advance team.
Well,
that tells you something.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're in the military, you get an invitation to come to something like that. It's basically, let me make you an offer you can't refuse.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, they were there under the command of their hierarchy, of course, and their chain of command. They said, you will be there, and you will be in, you know, your Class A's with your berets and things like that, and that's fine. But I just wondered what type of viewership he had and what the response to it was. Well, you know, any man who has had to go into that situation has a little bit different viewpoint of war than the person who's never had to go in there and do it. I can tell you that.
No,
by the way, I have an interesting factoid for you.
Sure.
Are you familiar with the author named Armistead Maupin?
Yes.
You know, he wrote Tales of the City, and he is one of America's leading gay writers. Well, he was an ensign in the Navy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Being from an old Southern family, he felt as though he had to go and fight the way his ancestors fought. He had struggled with his own sexuality for an awful long time.
Right.
But he was in Vietnam, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he was the last American to leave Cambodia.
Because
they were on the river, you know, exiting from Cambodia, and he was on the boat taking a shower. His commander tried to practically knock him off the boat. His would be the last foot to cross over the line. And Armistead Maupin said he was determined he was going to be the last guy who left. And he, with naked as a jaybird, with nothing but a bar of soap in his hand, somehow managed to get one foot behind that, in front of his boat commander, and he was the last man to leave Cambodia.
I'll be darned.
And he was a lieutenant in the Navy who served with distinction and who served with honor and apparently didn't get outed, thrown out, you know.
Right.
But you can find this documented in Condits Unbecoming.
Yeah, I'm gonna read that book. Got to hit the break, Jim.
Good night.
Take care. And we'll be back after that. A few last...
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. About 45 members of the...
As a small business owner, doing several things all at the same time is just another day at the office. So Sam's Club offers the option of doing two things at once. Buying items you need for your business, while at the same time need for your home. When you shop at Sam's Club, you get the same everyday low costs on items for your home as you do on items for your business. You've got to count on us to help you get it done. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
To the other kids, he was odd, but intriguing. While they lounged his clothing empire and the polo player motif that identifies as casual wear,
had more antibodies after being vaccinated against the flu, indicating deficient in the nutrients needed to ward off immobility, chronic disease, and chewing are in today's health report to help you stay healthier longer. Brought to you by Leader Drugs or nearest you at myleader.com. Leader Drug Stores, it's your neighbor.
Guiding a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, head on. And this is how the man
silence fiction.
call. Put us on the phone, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620.
Okay. All right. Good. Listen, I'm on my way to the Emerald City.
Oh, yeah?
And so I won't be around tomorrow. You know the Emerald City? I mean, I was thinking about that.
Oh, yeah.
You drove through the Fort Pitt Tunnel.
Yeah, when you're on your way to Pittsburgh and you pop out of that Fort Pitt Tunnel, yeah, that's the Emerald City.
That's the Emerald City, man.
It really is.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's beautiful.
It is.
But, so I'm not going to be able to call you on your last night. But I'm going to tell you, man, like, this has been an experience, a very good experience. And I know you'll come back stronger than you ever left. I really know. You asked a question earlier about how frustrated you have to be to throw rocks at tanks.
Yeah.
You know what the definition of that is in West Virginia?
What?
That's pissed off.
Yeah. That is.
Am I right?
Yeah, you are.
I mean, that's a very strong word. You know, see, some people just you piss off people down here, you're in serious trouble. Now, I'll stop using that expression.
That's okay. I think it's allowable.
Well, Ed said it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. Bill said, you're angry. Ed said, yeah, I am angry. I wish more people were.
Well,
And Ed's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know? So,
You know, we need a few people at the windows screaming, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yes, we do. And I think those people are coming around. You started talking about it earlier tonight, and I want you know I'm going to leave you with this, man. I don't know about. Don't matter which side you're on, you're being fooled.
Yeah.
Forget the expression.
Had, being had.
Yeah, exactly. Is that me and you've argued about this before. Now, is that an admission that maybe all Republicans ain't bad people?
Nah.
I know that's hard.
I still can't get there, Wayne.
Listen, we're going to have to continue to work on it.
Well, that's all right. Because I believe there are people out there that vote Republicans, that vote Republican because, you know, Dad did or Granddad did or because Lincoln freed the slaves.
I know, Bob, but they got the same argument we got. You know, you voting that way because your dad or Granddad did or whatever. There is a common ground. People are going to recognize that and realize. I mean, that's the only hope we got left.
Yeah, but you're right. There are common ground issues. Good jobs with good wages and good benefits for good American people. Now,
be against that?
Right, I can't see your average, you know, live on the corner in the burb Republican coming out against that. But you know what? The people that they vote for are against that.
Yeah, but see, they're not bad, Bob. They're just...
Right. Well, no. I've really...
And that's our fault because we haven't done a good enough job to educate them.
No, we've... every time we start getting a little bit forceful about things, we wind up having to apologize.
Well, we got to stop that. I think, listen, Governor Dean didn't apologize for anything, did he?
No, not really.
Well, I don't think he...
I don't recall it.
Governor Dean's, Howard Dean. Best thing, I'm so glad he got elected to the position he's in.
Well, and you can tell how it terrifies the Republicans by virtue of the amount of vitriol and venom that they direct toward him, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that's just, there's a man doing his job.
Right, he's earning his pay.
I'm with him 100%.
Me too.
You know, and a lot of other people will be because... I've seen him in interviews. He never avoids a question. He'll answer every question.
Right.
And he's, that's a good man right there. He's a good man. So, anyway, man, I could go on and on and on forever. But I just want to say you have been a breath of fresh air.
Well, thank you.
You know I've supported you. I don't want to throw insults to anybody or anything, but the people we're dealing with to try to keep you still, somehow or another, we're going to come to where you're going to be back out there because people need to hear that.
Hey, maybe it's time for it to go from Radio Free Beckley to Radio Free.
I told you the first night you said that you were done at Old Elvis. Sorry, boy, we just don't think we could use you. You ain't got no...
Why don't you go back to driving truck?
There you go.
Wayne, speaking of driving, you drive carefully, okay?
I'm home, brother.
All right.
Oh, well, okay. I'm leaving for the Emerald City in the morning.
Right.
I will, man. I will. And same to you.
And you know, give regards appropriately.
I will, my good man.
All right.
We're going to win this battle.
I think we are.
We're going to win it.
I think so, because there's a...
Oh, there's more than one. Like, yeah. There's a whole god darn crew of us.
Yeah. Good save. Good save. Skate save on the short side.
Thank you, man. I'm kind of proud of myself.
I am too. You know, I didn't have to use the button or nothing.
All right.
All right, later, man.
All right, brother.
Huh. But what I said to Wayne about this business is we got to stop apologizing. Karl Rove hasn't apologized. And he and slave liberal who charged into those buildings on September 11th. Ken Melman, the is he or is he not chairman of the Republican Party, said, well, he doesn't have to apologize. It's true. So Republican dirty tricks are not confined to just me anymore. I saw that Congressman Jones, this writer is talking about Congressman Walter Jones of North Carolina, a hardcore so-called conservative. You know, this is the guy who invented freedom fries. And I saw that Congressman Jones made the news by calling for a withdrawal of our troops. Whatever one may think about the war, one should ask when the mission will be over and when the troops can come home. Are we going to stay indefinitely? While it is nice that we are building Iraq, what about America? And what about the cost? Why do the Americans have to foot the bill when we can ill afford it? These are all legitimate questions to ask. Congressman Jones did nothing more than make a proposal to start pulling out. But it seems that the administration in Washington will brook no criticism of its policies. So it has sent out its dutiful attack dogs to shoot the messenger. What have we heard? That Walter Jones is a member of the lunatic fringe. Jones should resign. What I find disturbing is that we are criticized for nothing more than the exercise of our constitutional rights. Those who disagree with any aspect of the administration are branded as traitors and must be silenced. I thought the previous administration was bad because of the amorality. This is far worse. Famous poem about the Nazis of Germany. First they came for one group, acting like the Nazis. I will not be quiet. I agree with Congressman Jones that we should ask the administration the tough questions, and that we... That is a statement from Rachel Lee Hunter. Ms. Hunter is... Durbin's a Democrat, and we all know that if you walk up and say, boo, to a Democrat will go, Jesus, don't hurt me! Rachel Lee Hunter, however, is a Republican, and she said the administration, and she doesn't mean the Clinton administration, she means the Bush administration. Rachel Lee Hunter said, the administration is acting like the Nazis. What does that tell you? What does that mean? They have sicked the attack dogs on her, too. I guess I have to sort out some of this stuff. Republican policies are destroying this country, and the Republican Party on a national level is acting like the National Socialist Party. I pray God Rachel Lee Hunter does not apologize, because Rachel Lee Hunter is speaking truth to power. Somebody has to do that from time to time. Just for standing up like that, you know, even though she's a Republican, I might be inclined to give her a buck. It's worth a buck to me to find somebody willing to call these people what they are when they're being that way and not back down from it. Of course, I've done that too, and look where it got me. You know, cheap lies like, Saddam Hussein has WMD. Saddam can bomb London in 45 minutes. Saddam's got a little rubber ducky raft, and he's going to put a dirty bomb on it and float it into, you know. Next, the statesman will examine any refutations of them, and thus he will, by and by, convince himself that the war is just and will thank God for the better sleep he enjoyed. Self-deception. I never engaged in the process of grotesque self-deception. Why don't liberals, decent people, progressives, did not engage in grotesque self-deception? Disengage from your grotesque self-deception. The show tonight was produced by the indomitable Jesse.
Hey,
Agnes.
That's 25.